Hello, my name is Julia Widdup, and I'm an interviewer for What Should I Be? And if you'd like to find out more about our project, see our website at whatshouldibe.me, where you will find free access to wide variety of careers from all over the world. And today I'm speaking with Lanice Anderson, and she is a nutritionist and health coach from Virginia. So, Lanice, at what age did you first decide to become a nutritionist?
Wow. Actually, it was a while into my career. I had actually been working as an engineer program manager for a defense contractor. I had been doing that for about 13 years before I made this switch into holistic medicine and being a nutritionist. So I was probably, wow, 35 by the time I made this career change. So a little kind of a midlife, not quite midlife thing going on there. But yeah, I was probably in my mid to late 30s when I made the change.
Wow, that's quite a change. What prompted that?
Well, like I said, I had been working in engineering as a software engineering program manager for quite a while. And my grandmother got diagnosed with ovarian cancer very suddenly. And we enlisted the help of a naturopath who taught us all about food and herbs and diet and lifestyle. And I was so impressed by her knowledge of the body and how it worked and its ability to heal itself. I was actually in the middle of a master's program in engineering and decided I needed to do something different with my life. And so I dropped out of the master's program and went into a doctorate in naturopathy. So that was in 2001. So that was a real turning point for me, just my personal experience with my grandmother's health challenge.
So now you're a doctor.
So now I am a doctor, not a physician, not a medical doctor, but a traditional naturopath. So yeah, I my focus is in nutrition, lifestyle, behavior management, and stress management.
And who are they?
They are everyone. I work with clients. I think my youngest client is 9, and I think my oldest client is in her early 80s. So I work with people from, you know, a range of ages, obviously, with a range of different ailments or conditions. And sometimes it's not so much that they have a condition, it's that they're trying to avoid having a condition. And so they'll come to me. Yeah, they'll come to me preventatively and try to get some help with changing their diet and their lifestyle around so they can avoid health issues in the future.
So, and why were you always attracted to health and these types of things, or it was only because of your grandmother that you...
I'd like to say I was always really health conscious. I was really active as a teenager. I ran track and, you know, I like to believe that I ate fairly well and stayed, you know, pretty active. I think, though, it was really life circumstances that got me here. My grandmother's illness and I had a situation when I was still working in corporate America where I had just gotten so stressed out, I ended up having to take 6 months off from work because I was so burned out and stressed out. I just couldn't function anymore. So I think it was really just lifestyle situations that led me to this. And actually, it was a pretty natural transition because my earlier degree was in mechanical engineering. And so you learn how to work with systems. And this is just working with systems in a different kind of way. I'm working with the body system instead of machine systems now.
Okay. All right. It's a little bit like a machine, I guess.
Yeah, some days. Indeed so. A little more complex, though.
And for someone who's just trying to decide on a career, what kind of education would you need to do what you do?
To do this kind of work, most of the schools that do traditional naturopathy would like you to have some type of an undergraduate degree, but you can get varying levels of certifications or degrees for doing health coaching and work in holistic health. Really depends on what you want, you know, where you want to go with it. I went to Trinity College of Natural Health in Indiana, and a lot of their requirement really had more to do with your willingness and openness of learning new ways of assisting people with their health. And the undergraduate degree didn't weigh so heavily as if I were going for a traditional type of a graduate program. So,
okay. So
yeah.
In this case, it wasn't just the fact that you had an undergraduate degree was enough.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. It was it really more of the weight in getting into the program had to do, like I said, with really having a passion for wanting to learn different ways of helping people.
And what? OK, so what is it you love about your job?
Wow. So much. I love working with people more directly. I love the fact that what I do educates and empowers people. I like being able to be in a position where helping people understand what's going on with them gives them the power and the courage to take responsibility for themselves and for their own health, and really know that the choice is theirs to be healthy, that they have it within themselves to make decisions and make choices that can really impact their health in an amazing way. And for me, that's really the thing that I love, is when that light goes on and they have that aha moment that says, wow, you know, this is really up to me. It's about what I eat, you know, how I sleep, how I manage my stress, not, you know, given the power over to, you know, someone else with a prescription or their diagnosis, but really understanding how powerful we are in determining our own health. That's what I love about it.
So as a health coach, you coach people how to understand their bodies. Am I getting that?
Yeah, I do. I help people to understand how their bodies work. I help them to understand how to feed and care for their bodies in a way that will support optimal function, which means optimal health. And I help them really to develop a healthy lifestyle, to kind of change some behaviors, whether it's eating behaviors, sleeping behaviors, to help them change behaviors that are really going to ultimately support the health goals that they have. So, you know, whether that's eating, whether that's exercise, I'm really helping them to build a healthy lifestyle.
Okay. And how often do you typically see a client?
My health coaching program at a minimum lasts for 3 months. And during that 3 months, we meet about 7 times, usually about every 2 weeks or so we get together. At the beginning of the program, we set up goals and we develop strategies for how clients are going to meet those goals. And then, you know, we work toward doing that. Like I said, whether the goals have to do with exercise, with weight, with food, with stress management, with improving their moods, getting off of medicine, getting control of what I call their numbers, whether it's diabetes or high blood pressure, we develop strategies for making those things happen. And hopefully, at the end of that 3 month period of time, the work that we have done becomes just kind of part of their routine, so that they have made some changes gradually. But at the end of that 3 month time, sometimes it goes a little longer. Now everything is just really what they do, and they have indeed developed a lifestyle that supports their health.
Okay. And what are some of the things you like the least about your field?
I think the things that I like the least about it, oftentimes, you know, I think the thing that I like the least is when something, I guess, and I say it myself, but I guess it's really the client. When there's not that connection, when the client is not patient enough with the process of moving from a place of imbalance to balance and getting healthy, and they want sort of that microwave, you know, I've been doing this for 2 weeks. Why hasn't anything changed? I don't want to do this anymore. I think that's the part that I like the least, is when a client doesn't really commit to their health, because I've seen so many people's lives turn around. I know the work that I do, and you know, it works. I know that it works if people will give it a chance, but a lot of people are very impatient and don't always want to do the work themselves, and so they go back to other means of trying to manage their health. I think that's the most frustrating thing for me.
Yeah, they want that magic bullet.
Yes, which I haven't found yet.
What is a typical day like for you?
Wow. A typical day is pretty busy. And for me, particularly because we own our own business, so I'm not working in someone else's clinic. We actually have our own clinic. And so it's a balance of being practitioner and business owner, which isn't always an easy balance. Mm-hmm. Some days more practitioner, some days, you know, a lot of being the manager and the business owner. Fortunately, you know, my work in corporate America kind of prepared me for the management piece of it. So, but it's busy and it's long hours a lot of times. It's weekends. It's dinner conversation where business continues to go home. But it's all rewarding. I wouldn't trade it for the world. But the days are full. They're definitely full, but enjoyable.
And so, do you have a certain number of hours you do this and a certain number that, or it varies?
It varies. I'm trying to get better at managing my schedule to really set aside time to do some of the management things that have to be done when you own your own business. But I do have a set time where I see clients during the day, and then I try to leave myself, like I said, those times to do the managerial administrivia work, as I call it, to keep the business actually running and
right.
Marketing and interviews and, you know, training myself and that kind of thing. So our clinic is open from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. and at varying points during that time I will block out time just so I can either see clients or do office kinds of stuff. So
okay. And so you're an author also?
Yes, I certainly am, and I'm trying to work on the second book, but I can't find time to squeeze all of that in there right now. But I wrote a book about stress called Who Me Stressed, and it's a small book that really takes stress and breaks it down into layman's terms, talks about what stress is, really helping people understand that stress is not just things that happen outside of them, but that stress can come from your diet, it can come from your emotions, it can come from structural imbalance. So really helping them understand their sources of stress, how it affects their bodies, and then giving them some great, you know, beginner tools, I'll say, for managing stress in a variety of natural ways.
What's structural imbalance?
So structural imbalance is having spinal alignment, poor ergonomics when you're sitting at the computer all day long and kind of being hunched over.
Okay.
You know, that kind of thing, having your hips out of alignment or something like that, puts a lot of stress on the body and the organs and impacts the way that they function. So, just making sure you're physically aligned, that your spine is physically aligned and your hips are physically aligned, is really important for stress management.
Okay. And describe, you know, in some detail, a typical week.
Wow. So a typical week, I am probably seeing somewhere between, on a good week, probably 5 to 6 clients a day in varying stages. Some of them are just getting started, so those are longer consultation sessions, about an hour long, doing follow-ups with other people that are generally a half an hour follow-up. So I'm doing that, like I said, 5 to 6 clients a day, that come in varying stages of their health coaching. Like some are just getting started. Some are at that point where they're really getting it. Some are at the point of feeling a little frustrated. So a lot of education goes on. I like to think of myself as an educator, whether I'm coaching or teaching or writing a book. So a lot of client education is going on during that time. And then there's, you know, like I said, the management part of it. I've got a staff of two people, so I'm managing them as well. And it's busy, but it's taken a while to get to this point. But like I said, 5 or 6 clients a day, lots of talk about food, goal setting, that kind of thing.
And your clients are not all coming into your office physically, right?
No, they're not. I have clients all over the country and in a couple of places in Europe. And so I do phone consultations. I work with people over Skype and I see people in person. So a variety of modalities of communication are taking place during the day as well. And in between consultation sessions, I do a lot of email contact with my clients. And so I'm living in front of my computer a lot of times, keeping in touch, doing, you know, sending encouragement and support, answering questions, doing blogs so I can get information out to groups of people at a time who are all kind of in the same vein where they are with their coaching. So
you have a blog website?
I do. Actually, the website is wellwithl, W-E-L-L with W-I-T-H-L, like in Lenice. And if you go to wellwithl, I post something out there twice a week. I'm trying to do it twice a week. Mm-hmm. And some of them are just little video, audio clips, like a little 1-minute tip. I do articles. I do video blogs. They're also out on YouTube. If you look up Lenice Anderson or Healing Tree Wellness Center, which is our clinic, I've got quite a few videos out there on YouTube as well. So, yeah, I'm posting a blog every week and trying to do a little more getting out in front of people and getting that message out. So,
okay. And so you have 2 employees. And what do they do?
One of them is our front desk person. So she handles phone calls and scheduling and calling back clients to make sure, you know, that they're doing well after treatments. Kind of the office admin, receptionist. And then the other is she's actually been promoted. She used to be our office admin, and now she's doing what we call community outreach coordination. So she's helping us to partner with other businesses in the area so that we can hold different events. And she also kind of manages my schedule when I'm out speaking. I'm doing a series at a library and going to be doing some stuff at Barnes & Noble, some of the local bookstores. So she is really helping us to do our marketing piece and get out into the community so that we can reach more people. So more people know that we're here and know the kind of help that we can give them.
Oh, okay. So she's kind of What's her title?
She's a community outreach coordinator.
Community outreach coordinator. Okay.
Yeah.
And what were some of the most difficult and challenging things that you experienced on your journey getting to where you are now?
Wow. I think for me, the most difficult thing was being able to be in a position where, I'm going to say where I knew my boundary, where I could share information with people that I knew was helpful and be able to let that go and not take it personally when people
didn't
respond in a way.
Exercise.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, you know, I realized I can't do it for them. A client really has to want to do something different. And I can take them, but so far, but you know, I don't go home and cook for them. I'm not dragging them to the gym. I'm not telling them to go to bed at 10 o'clock at night. So for me, I think that was really one of my biggest lessons, was being able to know that my initial job is to share the information. And then what happens after that is really up to the client. If the client commits and is on board, then I facilitate, I recommend, I cheerlead, I rah-rah, I encourage. But I can't do it for them. So that was a really difficult lesson for me. But I got it.
Okay. And what are some of the tips and suggestions you can share with people who might be thinking they'd like to try this career, that this might be the career for them?
So I think one of the first things that I would tell someone is to be open. There are a lot of different modalities and things that you learn about when you learn naturopathy. Some of them seem pretty basic, like food and exercise, and you know, some of them are a little more energetic in nature and might take a little to get used to. So I would first say be open to learning and to shifting your paradigm as to what you believe health is and the possibilities of healing. So first, to be open. Second, to believe really deep down inside that the body can heal itself, that the potential for healing is there, and that can occur. Third, I think to kind of get yourself out of the way and realize that, you know, I don't personally heal anything. I facilitate healing for people, but I'm not the one, so the power isn't mine. I keep my ego in check. I'm just the conduit. I'm helping with the work, but I'm not the one doing the work. And I would also say, interestingly enough, be gentle as you begin to learn more about the field. Be gentle with yourself and how your paradigm will shift of what you have known in the traditional Western medicine world, to not turn your back completely on it, because some good things do come out of it. But know and believe in the power of what can happen naturally for people. And I think being open and really knowing that healing can take place are some of the biggest things that I would recommend for a person wanting to go into this field.
Tell us a little more about the energetic modalities.
So you've got several modalities in naturopathy. So naturopathy is a broad umbrella of, you know, kind of all things natural and non-invasive when it comes to holistic medicine. Things like aromatherapy, homeopathy, flower essence remedies, vibrational medicine. And some people kind of have, you know, we tend to be tangible people. If we can put our hands on it, if we can grow it, if we can eat it, then it seems to make sense to us. But things that are maybe not so tangible, things like Reiki, where you're doing healing, you're doing body work, but you're not really ever touching the body. You can do it at a distance. That kind of energy work is very valid. Homeopathy was the major form of medicine, you know, 100 years ago, but it's all energy. So a lot of people have a little bit of trouble putting their hands around. My husband, he works here with me, and he works in homeopathy. And he'll make, you know, a remedy for someone, and they'll say, well, what's in it? And we go, nothing, you know. And they sort of give us that very puzzled deer in the headlight look, but it's just, it's energy. That's all that it is. So that's why you kind of have to be open to some of these things to really appreciate and take advantage of the power of what is out there. Because there are answers. There are a lot of things out there, answers to questions that people have with regard to their health, and they're not always the mainstream kinds of things. So energy medicine is very powerful. A lot of people have heard of Bach flowers and homeopathic remedies. They even sell some of them in the regular stores now, but it's a whole different world than just herbs and foods and vitamin supplements. So, but very powerful healing.
Do you do anything like acupuncture or?
I don't do acupuncture. My husband is a shiatsu therapist, and so shiatsu is based in traditional Chinese medicine. I liken it to acupuncture with no needles and chiropractic with no fast snapping, cracking, scary things going on. But it works in the same system of acupuncture, where it's dealing with energy flow through the meridians. But it's shiatsu is based in finger pressure. So you're getting finger pressure, palm pressure, that kind of thing. But it's amazingly effective, powerful therapy. So,
okay. So I'm sure you must send some people to him for what they need from him?
Oh, absolutely. At our center, we work in a very integrated fashion. And so he will refer to me. I will refer to him. We also have a life coach that works here, because sometimes the healing that people need first has to happen through an emotional healing. And so we have a life coach who's very good in helping people to sort those kinds of things out. And then, you know, when they're kind of settled in that space, they can think about making dietary changes. They can understand the relationship between their emotional imbalances and, you know, their physical imbalances, why they have pain because they have, you know, mental stress. So we do work in a really integrated fashion, because ultimately, you know, none of us individually owns the silver bullet. And so ultimately what we want is for our clients to get better, whether that's through my help, through the life coach's help, through my husband's help, it doesn't really matter. We want them to get better by and make sure they're getting the right help and the right therapy that they need.
On a practical level, if someone was thinking about this as a career field, what could they expect to earn?
That's interesting. It depends on how much work you want to put into it. And I will say that, if you're thinking about going into this and owning your own business, it's a lot of work, and it doesn't happen overnight. My husband and I were fortunate because we both had corporate jobs before we started this. And so we had a nest egg that we could literally walk away from our jobs in corporate America, open up a clinic, and still be able to survive and while the clinic is growing. It's probably taken us about, well, we've been here, open here where we live now, for just about 4 years, and you know, we're humming along at a really good pace. In terms of annual income, you know, the potential of what you can earn, some of it depends on where you want to go with, you know, with your practice, how much you want to be in it. But I would say, you know, once you kind of get it established, you could probably earn, you know, anywhere from, I would say at the low end, $20,000-$30,000 a year, at the high end, over six figures easily.
Okay.
Easily. If you're willing to put the work into it and you're willing to build it, absolutely so.
And are there jobs for people who don't want to be in business for themselves?
There are, actually. There are a lot of companies that, because wellness is becoming more of a corporate strategy, I'm going to say, there are a lot of companies that that hire health coaches, wellness coaches, wellness educators for their companies to go and do seminars. There's work for health coaches in nursing homes, in hospital settings,
okay.
In educational settings. So there are. The field of health coaching and wellness coaching is really broadening. Gyms and health clubs often are places where people who are health coaches or wellness coaches are employed as well. So there are definitely opportunities out there if you don't want to go the route of opening your own business. Definitely a lot of opportunities for employment.
Okay. And if someone wanted to follow in your footsteps, maybe not become an engineer, but and accomplish everything that you've done up to this point, what things will they need to do and go through? Kind of like a roadmap to success.
Yeah. So, first of all, I would say, you know, find a good school that you can get some formal training in. Like I said, I went to Trinity College of Natural Health. There are a couple other naturopathy schools in the country. Look at their programs. Some of the naturopathy programs in the country do more what we call medical naturopathy. True naturopathy does not teach practices that invade the body. So I don't draw blood and, you know, I don't do that kind of thing. There are some naturopathy programs that do teach in a more medical kind of way. And so they teach some medical type interventions where you do invade the body. So make sure that you're getting into a program first that is really in line with what it is that you want to practice. Secondly, I would say something really good, it was very helpful to me early on, is find a mentor. find somebody who's doing this work and see if you can apprentice with them, learn from them, watch the way that they do what they do. I mentored with someone in Maryland, where I'm from, for about 2 years when I first got into this work, and it was amazingly helpful. One, that I could be in her presence and just learn and absorb all that she knew from years and years of practice, but also, again, to understand how to work with clients, how to run a business, what kind of things I could expect. So I think that's also really key, if you can find that, is to find a mentor, somebody that you can work with.
And how did you find her?
It's interesting. Actually, my mother found her. My mom was just kind of out one day gallivanting and came across her wellness center and, you know, went in. It was in a little strip mall, and she went in and met her. And this woman was actually the lady that helped while we were dealing with my grandmother's illness. So once I had met her then, I didn't know her before then, but once I had met her after she worked with my grandma, then I, again, was so impressed with what she did. I found out where she went to school, and I enrolled in the same school that she went to. And after I finished my program, I asked her, you know, can I come and work with you? I just really want to live in your shadow for a little while and, you know, see if I can absorb some of what you know, because she was just brilliant, just a wonderful, wonderful practitioner.
And she let you do that?
And she did, yeah, okay. She did, and it was extremely helpful and very key in my ability to go off and do what I've done. And I think even now, you know, I've been doing this away from her for quite a while now, but the basis of what she taught me is still there. And I have grown in different ways. I practice a little differently than she does. I have furthered my education in different ways that she has, but she definitely gave me the foundation to be able to do this work. So I am grateful to her.
Okay. And then after you left her, did you immediately start your own clinic?
I did. We did. We just sort of jumped in with 2 feet and said, we're going to go and do this. And, you know, by the grace of God, we have survived doing it. It's an interesting thing. I think a lot of small business owners, you know, they have a passion for something and they just say, I'm going to go and do it. And my husband and I kind of laugh all the time. Like, we had, you know, I think we had a plan. We had a plan in our heads, but we just felt like this was the right thing to do, because there were people out there that we just felt needed help, and we knew we could help them. So we just dove right in and did it. Would I say that's the smartest thing to do? Maybe. I don't know. You know, maybe a little more, you know, business plan, market research kind of thing, you know, might have been good.
So you didn't do market research or a business plan?
We did, but it probably wasn't, you know, by the books of business school kind of a thing.
Okay.
You know, like I said, both of us, we had a background in business. My husband had owned his own software company for about 10 years prior to this. So we kind of understood the nuances of running a business, and we did. I will be fair and say that we did look at the market around us, try to understand the demographic of the area and the people who would be supporting our business, and looking, you know, within a radius to understand what the competition was like, if there was anybody else out there that was doing what we were doing in the area. And then we just kind of went for it. So we did do some homework beforehand. We definitely did.
Okay. So that's probably a good plan.
Definitely. Especially if you're going to open your own business. Definitely so. And there's a lot of help out there from local economic development offices and small business administration that can help you with that kind of thing.
Okay. All right. So, and how about, how would you choose a school? How did you do that?
For me, the school that I chose, so talk about being crazy. So at the time when I was doing my doctorate work, my postgraduate work, I was a single mom with a 4-year-old and helping my mother take care of 2 ailing grandparents. So it was, and then I still had a full-time job. So it was a little crazy for me. The school Trinity that I went to actually has an online program. So I did all of my work without having to actually move to Indiana. I did it through correspondence and online classes. And for me, that worked really well. It was probably, 11, 12 years ago now. So a little ahead of the time, because at that time, people kind of poo-pooed, online education. Now it is kind of the norm because people's lives are so very busy. If I want a degree, I can't just drop my job and move to Arizona because that's where the school is that has the program that I want. So it's becoming a lot more mainstream now. So again, I would look at the curriculum of the school, make sure again that you're going to learn what it is you want to learn, or at least get a sense of you're going to get enough exposure to what you believe you want to get into. With naturopathy, we studied a lot of things, nutrition, we studied aromatherapy, we studied acupressure, we studied Bach flowers, we studied all kinds of things, which was nice because I got a lot of exposure to a lot of things. And beyond that, I chose to focus on nutrition. And then so I did more studies and certifications in that piece of naturopathy.
So you could have focused on acupressure or...
Absolutely. Absolutely. I could have focused on any of the body work modalities. I could have gone directly into homeopathy and just really focused on that. So getting a degree in naturopathy will really give you a lot of exposure to a lot of different healing modalities. And then you can kind of hone what it is that really resonates with you that you would like to do long term.
Right. Okay. Wow. Can you think of anything else that we should tell young people who are thinking about this field?
The one thing I would tell them is to be excited about it. I think that we are in a time right now in our culture and our society where people are looking for different answers and looking for different solutions. I think a lot of people are becoming more dissatisfied with the state of their health, with their ability to control and manage their health, and with, frankly, with what they're getting from the Western paradigm of medicine. And people are looking for something different. They're looking for an alternative. They're looking not just to cover up symptoms. They really want to be well, and they want to be healthy. And so I think as we move forward, I think this field is really going to be in demand because I think, like I said, people want answers. They want different answers than they've been getting. And they're looking for nutritionists and health coaches and people who can help them take the power back in their lives and get healthy in a different kind of way. So I think now is the time. Get out there and get into the field because people are going to be looking for you.
Okay. Well, it sounds like a great field. I'm interested myself, but...
Yeah, there you go. Great.
Change careers again.
It can happen, right?
All right. Thank you very much for being on this program and helping with this project.
Thank you so much, Julia, for inviting me. I really enjoyed it.